Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today's podcast, we're going to talk about something that I think a lot of people have to deal with, and that is difficult people. How to deal with difficult people.
We all have at least one.
Yeah.
Either in the family, at work, in the neighborhood, somewhere there's a difficult person to deal with.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, we often tell people, you know, you can't change those people, but you can just, all you can do is really manage how you're coping with it and how you're dealing with it.
It's funny, we always say you can't change other people, and yet most of us try to change other people most of the time.
We try as hard as we can.
We don't listen to our own advice. That's, you know, right. We're always trying to change others. So, but this is a process, I guess is the right word.
Yeah,
is from a book,
right?
By the same title, How to Deal with Difficult People. Really good practical advice.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from an article written or column written in Psychology Today by Dr. Eileen Strauss-Cohen.
Who happens to be a Florida resident.
She is. She works at Barry University.
Out of my head.
So, and she, as you said, she is referring to this book, How to Deal with Difficult People, by Gil Hassan.
Hassan. We're not sure, so we apologize if we're getting it wrong.
Yeah, but it's some really good ideas. So it's one of those weird things. We're talking about an article that's talking about a book.
Right.
So we're sort of a little bit removed.
Sort of twice removed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, we haven't read the book yet.
Right.
Though it's probably something that I'm going to try to get.
Yeah.
Because if the book is as good as this article about the book, it'll be a good addition to a professional library.
Right, right. And so what Dr. Cohen does in this article is she kind of summarizes things, and it really kind of really explains, I think, some of the ways in which we find ourselves exposed to or in situations where we're dealing with difficult people.
That's right.
And so the book is divided into three parts.
Yeah, there are really three main points that she makes, at least in this summary.
Right. So the first part is, you know, how they find us, how we end up getting exposed to difficult people. Yeah. And that could be, as you said a minute ago, it could be somebody in our family, it could be someone at work, someone at school, it could be from anywhere.
But the interesting thing is how they find us.
Right.
So first of all, who are when they use the term difficult people, who are they talking about?
Yeah. I think that one thing that I think, and when I'm talking with people about this, patients about these kinds of things, is I think they find us, my experience has been that they find us in different ways. You know, sometimes if they're family members, it's like they're there because they have to be there.
That's right. Nobody has a choice.
And then sometimes, as you said, it's somewhat of a choice. Sometimes we're in situations that we choose to be in, even though there's a difficult person there.
Right. And when we talk about difficult people, we're talking about people who are aggressive.
Right.
They're either actively aggressive or they use passive aggression.
Right, right.
But they're people who impose themselves on us. So when you say, how do they find us? Mm-hmm. They find us because they need a host. They need a victim.
Yeah.
They need to have somebody to aggress against.
Right.
Okay. And one of the points she makes is, well, why don't they cluster with each other? And the reason, and the wonderful analogy that she uses is the pit bull.
Right.
You can't put two pit bulls in the same cage.
Right.
So you don't put two aggressive people. So an aggressive person looks for a more passive person.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we tolerate it. We put up with it. And how many times do you hear people say, well, it's easier just to let her talk. It's easier just to let her do these things, because you don't want to poke the bear, if you will, because it makes it worse.
Yeah,
makes it more aggressive.
Yeah. So when you have, again, whether it's a family member or somebody that you're working with or somebody at school,
you can recognize that person because they like to be in control.
That's right.
They like to take charge. They like to tell everyone their faults. They like to they're somewhat confrontational.
Always offering advice, how you can be better, you know,
or how you were wrong and how they would have done it better or done it different. And so, yeah, these folks, they show up in a variety of places. Now I got the little cough going on.
It's contagious.
It is.
I got rid of mine and gave it.
You know, gave it to me. but these folks are, they can be anywhere. But the goal that they always seem to have is to sort of find a way for themselves to be put in a position of authority or of power.
Superiority.
Yeah.
And they're always giving advice like, I'm superior. You know, you are inferior.
Right.
And that's the aggressive part. Right. You're inferior, so let me tell you how you should do things.
Right.
And the implication being, you're flawed. You don't have it together the way I do.
Right.
I need to give you advice. You know, I know what's best for you.
Right.
All that sort of thing. So that's the first thing is, who are they? What are they doing?
Right.
Second thing is, what do you do about it?
Right.
And what I liked about her approach is it's an approach that you and I have taught, actually, when we taught the course at the university. And that is that you have to become an active listener.
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing you should do, first of all, step back, pause.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is one of those times when, and I think we're going to talk more about pause as we go along.
Yeah.
But the first thing you do is you become an active listener. Listen very carefully to what the person is saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you sometimes we get so reactive we hear something that they're saying, and we want to respond. We want to get defensive. We want to, and I think that when removed from the situation, I think most of us can see that this happens, but.
Right.
We give them exactly what they're looking for.
Right.
And so by definition, then we reinforce what they're doing. We reinforce their aggressive behavior.
Yeah, because you don't want to give in.
Right.
But on the other hand, you don't want to engage.
Right.
Okay, because they're going to overpower you somehow.
Right.
And in the article, she has 8 steps that you can... when we say do active listening, these are 8 things that you can do.
Right.
You don't have to do all 8.
Right.
But here she has 8 good practical suggestions about how to become an active listener.
Yeah.
Useful advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and the main thing is to step back and just listen to what the person is saying.
Right.
Decide whether it's true.
Right.
Try to figure out where it's coming from.
Right.
Okay.
And whether or not you have to respond.
That's right. And whether you need to respond at all. Because you may not have to.
Yeah. Yeah, just very quickly, those 8 things are, you know, being assertive, saying how you feel, acknowledging your part of the solution, say what you want, say what you will and won't do, stand your ground, negotiate and compromise, identify solutions and consequences, and then keeping calm and rehearsing what you say.
That's right. And these are things you do with the person who always has to make the decision about where we're going to eat or who's going to drive or in what order will we do the day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so you have to decide, you have to listen carefully and decide how you're going to react.
Right.
What you don't want to do is react emotionally.
Right.
Because they do bring out the worst in us.
Yeah.
And that gets us to step 2.
Step 3.
Step 2 is, what is this person bringing out in you?
Right.
You know, what... Why does it really bother you so much?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the second thing. You know, once again, we go back to that. You can't change the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about, why is this upsetting me so much?
Right.
Why doesn't it seem to bother everybody else in the room?
You
know, why am I the only one who's getting worked up about this?
Mm-hmm.
So try to figure that out.
Right.
And then step 3 is?
Step 3 is trying to figure out how to solve the problem.
That's right.
Right? So you know, we know... who they are and why they are. We know, we recognize being an active listener and understanding our role in perpetuating the problem.
That's right. What is it?
And then the third part is basically our role in solving the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if the person is close to you, part of your microcosm, but family member, for example, you may want to confront that person directly because you will see that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to keep happening over and over and over unless you do stop it somehow or deal with it effectively. So if the person is close to you, if they're a part of your daily or weekly or family world, you may want to confront the thing directly. If they're not, if they're only occasional, mm-hmm. you may not want to do anything at all.
Right.
You may want to do it indirectly, you know, right. protect yourself indirectly, because it's just not worth the confrontation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the, I was talking with a person the other day about the nature of relationships a little bit, right. and we were talking about how sometimes in relationships, or many times in relationships, we have a certain expectation mm-hmm. for that relationship.
Right.
And when that other person doesn't meet those expectations, right. we have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. We can maintain that expectation and say, right. no, if I'm going to have a relationship with you, this is what it's going to be like.
Right.
And if that person doesn't get there, then you draw a line and you say, I'm not going to be able to have a relationship
That's
with
right.
you. Or you can say, this is what my expectation is. This is where they are. I'm okay with having a relationship on this level. Mm-hmm. It means that there's going to be a lot of things that you're not going to be able to do with that person. It right. means that there's a lot of limits that you have to set in that relationship. Mm-hmm. Not that you're giving in, not that you're allowing them to, you know, take charge of a relationship right. or anything like that, or that you're trying to be something that you're not. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're lowering your expectations so that this may be a person that you, you know, instead of hanging out with them once a week, right. you're only going to be able to see them once every other month.
Because it's too
because
too
it's just
difficult.
Too much. Right. right. Too and so you're having to change your expectations right. a little bit to fit how you're able to cope with their presentation and their behaviors.
And the other thing we do, we includes me, is we lower our expectation, but then we resent
right.
doing it.
Yeah.
We resent
yeah.
the other person. And that's not the other person's fault.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
If I'm going to lower my expectation so that I can have a relationship, then that's my decision.
Mm-hmm.
I can't now resent this
right.
person for a decision that I made.
Absolutely.
So be careful. If you're going to lower it, lower it.
Right.
But you've lowered an expectation,
yeah.
so don't be angry because they're not meeting yours.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't lower it and then say, man, I really wish that we could
right.
not
I really wish you
here.
Would,
yeah, right.
would come to where I... No, I've already decided I'm going to lower mine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because we never know... We never know where that person's coming from.
That's right.
Not fully.
That's right.
Because that person may not fully understand where they're coming from, so they
exactly.
can't even communicate it.
Yep.
So we want to, you know, we have to make a judgment, mm-hmm. an evaluation of that whole scenario and decide what
right.
we want to do. And then act on it. Then,
right.
then implement that.
Right.
If you decide that you can't have a relationship with that person because they're too difficult, mm-hmm. they're too controlling, they're too manipulative, then make that decision and go by that decision.
And she has wonderful advice.
No reason to be angry about it.
No, that's exactly.
Yeah.
She has wonderful advice at the end. The first thing, of course, is you have to set boundaries.
Right.
Like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to say, what am I willing to tolerate?
Mm-hmm.
What am I not willing to tolerate? Then you have to adjust your expectations.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Up or down.
Yeah.
But that's your decision. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to decide what you will and will not tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you may decide in the end, to repeat what you just said, that you have to limit this relationship,
mm-hmm.
either the number of times
right.
you see the person or the amount of time that you spend together. There are some people where you can tolerate being with them for an hour, but you don't want them coming to your house for a weekend.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And there are other people that you just have to love at a distance.
Right.
And we probably all have a family member that
mm-hmm.
it's better... if we just love each other from a distance,
right.
we can acknowledge each other's birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, talk to each other.
We can
over
be friends
the phone.
On Facebook.
We can be friends on Facebook. But man, when you're in the same room, the electricity just starts to crackle.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Love the person from the distance. You
yeah.
know, we weather the Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. I was going to say we talk about it over the holidays, especially.
At holiday time. We've talked about
mm-hmm.
it many times. You can get through the holidays because you know it's a single day
right.
or a single couple of days. But you love somebody from a distance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, check out this article. It's really well written
yeah.
and a good read. The link to it will be in the show notes. And let us know what you think. All right. So
right.
until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.